Let's, before we sit down, pick a text from Genesis chapter 1 and verses 1 and 2. Before we sit down. Genesis chapter 1, and I will read verse 1 and verse 2. Want to do a Bible study that will help us understand this mystery of salvation. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. God bless you. Please be seated and listen. Amen. Hallelujah. There was something I shared with you, a personal prayer. I pray before my God. And I share with you because it's important. I said, Lord, keep me humble, but don't humble me with a problem. Don't use problem to humble me. I said, Lord, don't use sickness to humble me. Don't use frustration to humble me. I said, humble me with the revelation of who you are. That's a powerful prayer. If you, the more you get to know God, the more you become humble. If you see any Christian that is proud, he doesn't know God. He has not met with him. If you see any Christian, I repeat, any human being at all, and worse still, a Christian, that is proud of anything at all, just know that that person has not met yet with God. Please, let me quickly add that the gift you have is not evidence you have met with him. Because there are people that are born with gifts and they don't know that God that gave them the gift. So be careful as you think that because somebody is exercising a gift like Pastor Moses, then you say that means he's close to God. Let me get close to him. Sometimes when you get close to us, you'll be shocked who we really are. And that is the difference between the denominational system of Christianity and the true bride of Jesus Christ, known as God's elect. God deals with his elect with revelation. Upon this rock of the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is, I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So when I see a Christian who says he is a bride of Jesus Christ waiting to go in the rapture and is not interested in knowing who the bridegroom is, I see you as another wonder on earth. And I am curiously observing, especially the church workers. Our response to Bible study activities. That's the truth. I am busy observing. And let me not let it out till then. Because this church must move forward. Praise the Lord. This ministry must move forward. Amen. We have seen the power of God. Now we want to know the God that gives that power. If not, Satan will mess you up. Hallelujah. And that is all the difference. How will a young girl wanting to go and marry a man, and then you are asking her the date, any moment from now the wedding will take place, then you are asking, where is he from? What's the color of his skin? Abba, even if my phone would have meet, WhatsApp there to see his picture now. Facebook there to see his picture now. You don't know how he looks like. You don't know his village. You don't know his history. You don't know his educational background. You don't know anything about his past and his present and his future. And you say you want to marry. What type of marriage is that? So it is with any Christian who say we are waiting for the rapture and you are not interested in knowing the divine agenda, so that you will know where we are coming from, where we are now, and where we are expecting to go next. Praise God. And God bless this ministry with a teaching grace. If our gospel be hid, Apostle Paul said, it is hidden to them. That what? Bible students are here. The reason is because he said the God of this world has blinded their eyes. You concentrate so much on making ends meet that you forget that everything you are pursuing is temporary. We will continue to say it and believe that many are called, may the few choose and catch it in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are looking at the topic I promised I would take, that I call the testing and fall of God's creation. The testing and the fall of God's creation. And we'll try to read some scriptures, but catch the picture. Catch the picture. If we don't finish today, we continue. That scripture we read, amen. Take note, in the beginning, Genesis 1:1, God created the heaven and the earth. The question is, when is this beginning? When is this beginning? Everybody, you know your birth date. Your birth date is your beginning of life on earth here. Everybody celebrate one anniversary or the other because it is a reminder of a beginning of whatever you are celebrating. But when you read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That beginning, amen, only God knows when is that the beginning. That's what I want you to note. The beginning is not the creation of Adam, is another beginning. Amen. So it is the beginning of the creation of man. But this beginning in Genesis 1:1 is only God knows when, how long ago is this beginning? What is the time frame you can put to say from that beginning until now is so number of years? It is known to God only. And that beginning is the beginning that when he created the heaven and the earth, and no man knows it. And that's why in Job chapter 38, from verse 3 to 7, let's read it. This, when Job was questioning God and talking anyhow before his maker, this is what God told him.
Gird up now thy loins like a man.
Job, gird up now your loins. Chapter 38, verse 3 to 7.
For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me.
Read it again.
Gird up now thy loins like a man.
Oh yeah, stand up now. Oh yeah, get ready now. Get ready now like a man. For that is what he's telling Job.
For I will demand of thee, and answer thou me.
Oh yeah.
Where was thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?
Job, where were you the day I laid the foundations of this earth?
Declare, if thou have understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened? or who laid the cornerstone thereof. When the morning stars sang together.
When the morning stars sang together.
And all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Hey. That means, listen, from this statement, it means there was an existence of a group of creature of God known as the morning stars. Amen. They were already in existence before the earth was created.
Yeah.
And these morning stars are angels of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now I want you to also note. Amen. The morning stars. Why are some angels called morning stars? And also, let's read it again, verse 7.
When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy.
Now there are two groups of people there. There are the morning stars, and there are the sons of God. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
In the family of God, we have the morning stars, and we have the sons of God. These sons of God is not you and I. We are only coming to join in another category. Okay. Amen. So he said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Heaven is God's dwelling place. So heaven was created first. And all the hosts of heaven before the earth was created. Now in Isaiah 45, verse 18, there is a statement there.
For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain.
He did not create the earth in vain. He didn't create it for nothing.
He formed it to be inhabited.
He made this earth to be inhabited.
I am the Lord, and there is none else.
So why will verse 2 says, and the earth was without form? And the earth was void. When God created this earth for the purpose of existence. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to let us know, church, if it has never occurred to you before, that this earth, man on earth here is just about 6,000 years. But this earth has existed millions of years before man was created. There are fossils that scientists have discovered that confirm that this earth is billions of years old. This earth, billions of years old. Maybe we can show some of them on the screen if we get it. Praise the Lord. And if you look at the screen, let me see if I can read something there. The one that you are seeing on the screen, it says, these tiny bumps that you are seeing there, how old are those rocks? Those rocks, they are on that rock. How old is that rock? 3.7 billion year old rocks. And science said that could be the earliest evidence of life on earth. Another one. The world's oldest known fossil, the oldest one that is known existing on this earth, 3.7 billion years. Not thousand, no, not million, no, billion. And this next one that you see like that, science found out multicellular life, 1.56 billion years old. And the next one, the earliest known fish, you can see fishes and animals, 505 million years old. That is what carbon dating science, the means of knowing the age. If you carry your bone now, put anywhere, you cannot lie. They will know immediately how old you are. And this land-based organism, 440 million years old. This one is a reptile. You can see this is another reptile. 318 million years old. Now, this is very popular. This dinosaur. Everybody, you've heard of dinosaur. You can imagine the size of that animal, maybe as big as this auditorium, walked on this earth before. The oldest known dinosaur, and it is 245 million years old, the one they found out. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Placental mammal. See the way they are. They found the bone, and then they're able to use the system of, you know, giving its flesh. This one is 160 million years old by the time they found it out. And the modern bird, there's a bird they found out that it is 130 million years. 130 million years old. Hallelujah. Now, this is a plant now, flowering plant, that is 130 million years old. Now they call it human. They want to call it human. They said the first early human. The first early human. And maybe that is where the serpent came from. We don't know. They say it's 2.8 million years. That is, it's a human form that has lived on this earth. 2.8 million years old on this earth. They found out. The oldest Homo sapiens, we've heard about them, 195,000 years old on this earth. Praise the Lord. On this earth. Now, when you begin to hear things like that, amen, these discoveries, God left them purposely as a memorial, as something that will make you to know there is a God that rules, that owns this earth, and he is ageless. Amen. He is ageless. And only him knows when this earth was created. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah saw something like that and used the same language Moses used. Verse 23. Maybe read it up to verse 26.
I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form.
God showed, like he showed Moses, he also showed Jeremiah.
Without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. Uh-huh. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. Uh-huh. I beheld, and lo, there was no man, and all the birds of the heavens were fled. Uh-huh. I beheld, and lo, the fruitful place was a wilderness. Uh-huh. And all the cities thereof are broken down at the presence of the Lord and by his fierce anger.
That means God judged this earth. And this judgment that he judged is not the time of Noah. Amen. Praise the Lord. And how do we know? We see the key in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28.
And God blessed them. And
he
God
blessed man.
Them.
He blessed man after he created him in Genesis 1, 26 and 27. And
God
he blessed them.
And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
That is the word. The word there is what?
Replenish.
The word is what?
Replenish.
Replenish. It means, amen. Something that was there, it is no more. Bring it back. Fill it back. Replenish. He didn't say occupy. He said replenish. Why? Read it again.
And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it.
Replenish the earth and subdue it.
And have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth.
And so, by the time you see God's creation, and he's saying, let there be, it was not a new creation he was creating. Let there be light. It simply means the light was existing before. Amen. From this carbon dating that we see to know how old these plants and these animals were, they were existing before. They were only to come back to life. Praise the Lord. The same language he used for Noah. After the Lord used water and destroyed the whole earth, what did he tell him in Genesis chapter 9 verse 1? Noah also.
And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth.
He used that language again, replenish, because there were things that were existing before. He has wiped them away. Now he wants to replace them. And of course, it will be by a process. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now I want you to note that when God said, be fruitful, or replenish, or maybe he says, let there be this. Let there be animals. Let there be trees, fruit-bearing trees. Let there be, listen. He is, God is not a magician. When he said, let there be, he is only releasing the process by which these things come back to life. When God looks at a woman, or what the, he said, he told Mary, he said, thou shalt conceive and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. When the angel said so, praise the Lord, a child did not automatically enter there and then she born that day. It went through a process. The seeds for all those plants were already on the ground. Praise God. And they began to come back to life in response to the word of God. For death and life is in the power of the tongue. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So let's look at this earth. What is this earth that has been existing under the control of he who created it for billions of years? So this earth is God's own testing ground for the display of his attributes. Did you hear my grammar? God is a creature that has attributes, abilities, characteristics, nature. Amen. And he wants to display it. How will you know that somebody is a thief that has the attribute of a thief? Before you say he's a thief, he will have seen something and stolen it. If he's not a thief, keep it there. You're going to look, because it is not in his nature. Oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. When you say somebody is a fornicator, fornication is a nature. Amen. Don't say, I am not a fornicator. Me, I'm not a fornicator. Wait first. By their fruit, we will know them. Until you have the opportunity to sleep with a woman and you say, lie, then we know that you don't have the attribute of a fornicator. Amen. But those who have the attribute of So they don't wait for the woman to come. They are the one that chase the woman. God also has his attributes. Inside of him is the nature of God. God is an object of worship. God is an object of worship. Praise the Lord. God is an object of worship. Anything that is worship is called God. And that thing is not God until it has something that is worshiping it. So for God to become God, I hope you understand my language. Bride of Jesus Christ. The denominational theologian who went to Bible school will argue, come on, how can you talk like that? Hey, shut up, listen to my language. That there was a time that the great Elohim, the great eternal spirit, was not God. He was only God potentially inside of him. To become God, he has to create something that will worship him. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And that is where his creatures begin. Amen. To display his attributes. To display that he's a mighty one in battle. See what he did with the children of Israel in the wilderness. You go and find trouble with other. Imagine where he went to put Israel. Why didn't he go to an empty land? He took them to where people were saying, drive them away and stay there. He knows that they will fight, and they are still fighting now. So that he will be his attribute, that he's a mighty one in battle. So he's a man of war. He will come and say, wait, Moses, the battle belongs to me. Why it not belong to you? Why you make us follow here? Praise God. And he has never failed in any battle. Hallelujah. If he is a restorer, then something has to spoil. Then he will restore it. If he's a healer, then he has to allow sicknesses that are incurable. Then he will come and heal. He's a miracle worker. Then he will do what no man can do. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He has the attribute that he can make a way where there is no way. So he made them to follow the Red Sea, and he parted the Red Sea. And if you are thinking that it was by mistake, it was the weather that happened, it happened again at the crossing of the Jordan, by not Moses this time, by Joshua. Hallelujah. To show that he's the one that maketh a way where there is no way. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If he is a redeemer, then something that belonged to him has to be lost. Then he will come and redeem it. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. And he is also a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If he is a rewarder, then he will have to put us through some tests. And every creature that he created, known to us so far, according to the scriptures, praise God, he put them all to test. How do we know? Why are some angels called archangel? Archangel is a position of exaltation. And God will not just create you and place you somewhere. Praise the Lord. You will earn it. Amen. And there are various ways of testing you or testing his creature. Glory be to God. So let's look at some of those that he tested. Let's look at the history now of his creation. The first one that comes to our mind was mentioned by Jude. In Jude verse 5 and verse 6. When he was talking about the certainty of the judgment that is coming upon this world. What did he say?
I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not.
Now watch verse 6.
And the angels which kept not their first estate.
The angels, listen, that kept not their first estate.
But left their own habitation.
They left their own habitation.
Yet reserved in everlasting chains.
Where, where did he do? What has he done with them? He has reserved them in chains, in everlasting chains, under darkness, until that great day of the white throne judgment, Revelation chapter 20. There are some angels now that only God knows how many million years ago they are on that chain. That was their judgment. What was the test? They did not keep their estate. It means they were given boundaries. They were given commandments. What they should do and what they should not do. Praise God. And they left where God created and kept them and disobeyed God and did something. Whatever they did, it is only summarized. They kept not their estate. And because of it, God judged them. And those ones, I believe, they are different from Satan and his angels. That happened before Satan's own came up. They are the first. Praise the Lord. And it's like the apostles knew this story because Peter repeated it in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4.
For if God spared not the angels that sinned,
that is the certainty of the judgment that is coming,
but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment.
It's the same group of angels that Jude was making reference to. That is the first set of people. They were tested. First set of creature, God's creature, that we are tested. They failed and God judged them. The second one are those that we see with those fossils. Certainly, the way they are, amen, something happened that wiped them off. Whatever happened, we don't know what happened, but certainly they invoked the wrath of God. God was unhappy with them and wiped them away. It is not the age that made them to die, because if it is the age, praise the Lord, amen, we would have been seeing their ancestors, because they would have been producing just like our man. We are talking of Adam today. Something happened and they were judged. The third people are the animal world. Some of us heard about the Ice Age. That's the history of the Ice Age. Why are some places just turned to ice? And somewhere in the cold region of Siberia in Russia, there are history everywhere. All these things I'm talking, they are common knowledge. Just Google and you will read the tire. But when you are reading it, read it with the understanding of Bible. Because science will give the story and add it a coloration that will take God away totally. They will be entering evolution, but we are looking at it as judgment because the Bible says so. Praise God. And this, there is evidence, story we hear how in Siberia, they saw, you know, a particular kind of animal that was, you know, they call it regurgitation, Abi. I think they call it regurgitation. A goat. When he eat, finish, then he go bring out somewhere and begin to chew again. They say chewing the cord or something like that. Okay. And the animal was doing that, and at that estate, it hung and froze there. And it remained like that, fresh like that. Ice covered it. And many others, animals that have been found in different estates, that shows that it's like something suddenly happened that struck them. And in the essence they were, that is how they remained for millions of years. Like that. Until road construction workers, archaeologists, and a lot of people are coming across these strange things and they are reporting them. Praise the Lord. So there was an animal kingdom on earth here. This earth was completely inhabited by an animal world. These scientific discoveries prove it. Now the fourth one is Satan himself, Lucifer. We see that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, 8, and 9.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought.
There was war in heaven. Yes?
Michael and his angels fought against the dragon.
Yes?
And the dragon fought and his angels.
Uh-huh. And this dragon is Lucifer.
And prevailed not. Uh-huh. Neither was the place found anymore in heaven. Uh-huh. And the great dragon was cast out. That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world.
What is his ministry?
This which deceived
the whole world. He is the deceiver of the whole world. He deceived one third of the angels in heaven and they followed him in the rebellion. He came to earth here and we believe that he is the one that caused that animal kingdom to begin to go haywire. And God had to strike him. Praise the Lord. Now, this is Satan. If you look at what God used to test Satan, what did God use to test Satan? He tested Satan with power and beauty. Listen. Amen. God is in the business of testing. God is in the business of testing. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2.
Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God.
Now watch verse 2.
Moreover, it is required in stewards.
In steward, in service, if you have a master, what is required?
That the man be found faithful.
You are to be found faithful when you are serving a master. Amen. So your faithfulness in serving God will always be tested. God is in the business of testing. Church, even now, he is testing us. And that is where I'm going to land in all this history. Because if I don't bring it home to you, then I'm only telling you history. And I am not a historian. I'm not a teacher of history. I am a teacher, a preacher of the gospel of salvation. So that you will take heed if you think you stand, lest you fall. So that you will give diligence to make your calling and election sure. So that you will work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So that you will never come to an estate where you will ever take God for granted. This is all I've been trying to teach for the past weeks. For God is no respecter of persons. God knows what to test you with. There are many of us that come to church. Every service, you don't miss the service. God will soon test whether it is something else you are looking for. And when you get that thing, whether you will still continue like that or not. He will test you with what you are looking for. There are some blessings, some breakthroughs some of us receive that it is God testing us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are some. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. I think there is an adage that says all lizards have their stomach on the floor. It is only the one that embellished the pen, and only him know. Eh? Amen. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Did God know that Adam will fall? He knew it. I will come to that. I'm not trying to tell you. That is why I say, Lord, humble me using revelation of who you are. If not, it's very easy. It's very easy to be distracted. Very, very easy. And it is very difficult to be focused and steadfast in worshiping God. Too many trials and temptations all around us. When you see somebody that can boast of his relationship with God, this is how I started, this is how I do it from January until now. I have been consistent. I have been doing this in my service to God. Then you know that person is in a path of victory. Because too many voices you will hear. There is the one you will hear, the voice that tells you you are a failure from inside. And there is the one that your friends will tell you. And there is the one that your relations again will tell you. Pressure, pressure for the younger ones. They call them peer pressure. Hallelujah. And there is a stage you reach as if, if I don't get this thing, I am finished. And then when you see them pursuing it, they have tried all others, it no work. Amen. You've not heard people saying that. Somebody told me, say, my life go better if I go bride assembly. So you didn't come here to worship God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And maybe that brother is hearing me now from Kano. And when I was speaking with you, my wife was looking at me as if she was like giving me sign, as if I was being too hard on the person. And when I finished talking, I told my wife, I said, I have no time. Look, the gospel we preach is evening light gospel. Stop wasting my time when you don't want to serve God and be disturbing me with unnecessary something. There are people that come to this church for welfare purpose. There are some people that belong to four churches. They register in women fellowship in choosing. They will register in women fellowship in men fellowship in bride. Women fellowship in redeem. Redeem normally have only 1.5 hour service on Sunday. So they will go and register and run to bride. So that when they need accommodation, they will say, I'm a member of bride. They will collect here, go to redeem, I'm a member of redeem. Then go to choosing, I'm a member of choosing. Then you say, it's my brother, it's my sister. Is somebody hearing me? Oh, go to the bride assembly. Go to bride assembly. They will, if you go, they raise offering for people. Then they will come and stand here. They know our online members. Very, very, very. In fact, our members generally are, you know, very sympathetic. Very, very sympathetic. And they also know that when you bless a needy person, God will bless you. So when opportunity comes, they will carry all our offering and give that person. Rob Peter and PayPal. Then we will find money to pay for television. Amen. Anyway, we don't find us. There are people that come here and they will give a testimony. I have also spoken to all the prophets. We said, be careful. Get some revelation where they give. Now offering the call for the person. Be very careful. Praise the Lord. And when, watch them, when you get that offering for them, you don't see them again in bride. I have a testimony. I want to give testimony. I want to give testimony. Then watch as the testimony they go. There was one that was giving testimony one time. I said, Zoe, call the microphone. We know where they go. Amen. Praise the Lord. See, I don't know how to describe this thing. Amen. I have been pastoring this church for the past 23 years. I am a very good student. I learn. And I see all the wonders that are taking place in this church. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I gave my number for people to have access to me. You think I don't get brain, I give my number to everybody. They call me at the answer. You think I don't know how to answer everybody when you call me? You're calling me and you're asking me for house rent. I tell you, sir, I'll be mortgage bank. I'm your member. You don't know where Deacon Board today, welfare board today. You are asking me for what? All that nonsense they do. And such people are never serious with God. When we are teaching, they ask them, what is the end time message? They say, end time, we are at the end time. Now they know nothing. Because they concentrate on what has brought. I'm saying this in every church. That young man in Kano called me and said he was in choosing. And then before he had the Bright Television, and then he went to Bright Church in Kano. And when he went there, the pastor was doing this, and the pastor was doing this, and then things were very bad with him, and then he didn't know, and then so he went back to back, he had to go back again to choosing where he was. So I said, so what do you want me to do? What are you calling me for? He said he needs counseling. I said, what counseling are you looking for? Why did you leave choosing before? He said, I saw the light. I saw the truth. I said, then the light and the truth, it disappeared. Then you came back again. He said, no, that is why he's calling me. I said, I don't understand you now. You are calling me for what? He came looking for welfare. And when they didn't give him what he was looking for, he had to go back to where they were giving him small, small, small before. And they will tell you, I am online member. Who told you are online member? God will test all of you. He will test all of us. Praise the Lord. Every one of us, even now, I repeat, some blessings we receive, they are reward. And some blessings we receive are tests. So, be careful what you do with the blessing God gives you. That breakthrough you gave testimony, there is an all-seeing eye watching you. It's watching you wherever you are. Every day, mind the path you pursue. Every day, mind it, God is seeing us. God knows all our motive. Amen. God knows why you want to be a minister. And God will give you the ministry. It's a test. And so, hallelujah. Satan was given power. Satan was given beauty. Ezekiel 28, let's read it.
Moreover, the word of the
from verse 11, Ezekiel 28, verse 11 to verse 15.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of
God.
Can
you see the beauty of Satan? We have read this several times before. Go on.
Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, and the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and gold.
Hey.
The workmanship of thy tabret and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created.
Wonderful.
Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have said this so.
He was the closest to the presence of God. He was the closest to the throne of God. So imagine, of all the angels in heaven, he was the closest. And being closest, you can imagine the power and authority he had. Go on.
That was upon the holy mountain of God. Uh-huh. That was rocked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Uh-huh. That was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Iniquity was found in thee.
So listen, that beauty that God gave that angel he created was a test for him. And he failed. Amen. He failed. In Isaiah chapter 14, from verse 12 to 15, we see what it is that amounted to iniquity. What is that iniquity?
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou called down to the ground, which is weakened the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation, the size of the north. I will ascend above the height of the clouds. I will be like the most high. Yet, that shall be brought down to earth.
Can you see his judgment? Where did he learn that eye from? It's from God that he was serving. Because God speaks always, I will do this, I will do this. Because the Bible says he counsels with himself. Since there is none greater than him, he will swear by himself. Oh, glory be to God. What is your name? I am that I am. Oh, glory be to God. And so because he was close there, he also wanted to be like. Praise the Lord. Amen. I will say this very humbly, that is the one major problem with ministers, people who have grace. It is very rare to see somebody who has a grace to subject himself to another man in ministry. What you have, I have now. Amen. It will take an extra dose of the Holy Ghost. Especially in this age, where there are voices from everywhere, from within and from without, to tell you, why are you serving under this man? It will take extra grace. Praise God. You don't have a pastoral calling. All you have is only gift. Pastor is more than see vision and cast out devil. That is what has messed up the Christian faith. People will gather under such ministries and know nothing about divine agenda, know nothing about God's plan for salvation, know nothing about righteousness of God. All they do is just vision. That is why a woman will go and open a church. What does she know to teach? It's a ministry. But they cannot. I will also do my own. There is one man I respect in this country, Nigeria, Bishop Abioye of Winners Chapel. I heard him in an interview. Why have you not started your own for so long? He said, no, everybody cannot. He said he's called to assist. And the evidence that he's called to assist is that they see eye to eye. When he's talking, you would think it is Oyedepo that is talking, if you don't look well. Because two cannot work together except they agree. Praise the Lord. You shout at a prophet, he will carry Bible and then threaten you. He will tear the church because he knows the type of people that are coming. They are miracle seekers. That was, therefore, the gift that we have also, that gift is also to test you. The grace that you have is to test you. God created you, sister, very beautiful. Amen. Very beautiful. Your beauty can also be a gift, a reward. It can also be a test for you. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Satan, he failed. God judged him. As we see in Revelation chapter 12, verse 4, describing him. Revelation chapter 12, verse 4.
And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven.
That is the history, how it happened, the rebellion as a result of his disobedience. And then he gathered, you know, there are people that break churches like that. They break church. If you offend them, they will break the ministry, break the church. Break the church. There are some churches that should break. Oh. They should break, because if you are gathering there, you are not leading the people aright. Amen. Like the son of Solomon, God himself had to break Israel and left him with only two tribes. 10 tribes went to somebody else. Yes, there are some churches that the pastors there are not called to be pastors. So when they see their sheep, their shepherd, they should follow him. But, amen. He drew, his rebellion was against his maker, his creator. 1/3 of the population of angels, and they are the ones that we call demons today. 1/3 fallen angels. Where did they fall from? They fell from heaven. Fell from their estate. Read it again.
And he still drew the third part of the stars of heaven.
Yes.
And did cast them to the earth.
Where did they go to? They came to the earth here. Uh-huh. And when they came to the earth here, I believe that is when they met the animal kingdom that was, it's an animal kingdom that was on earth here. The dinosaurs and the rest. Go ahead.
And the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered, for to devour a child as
read
soon as
verse 9.
And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, uh-huh, which deceived the whole world.
Uh-huh.
He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him.
Uh-huh. And Revelation chapter 12, where we have verse 12.
Therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them.
Because there are two groups here. There is the heaven and the earth. For the heaven, what are they to do?
Rejoice.
And
woe to the inhabitants of the earth, okay, and now, of the sea.
For those who are on earth here, woe. Are we not still suffering it till now? Read on.
For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time.
Uh-huh. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is why in Luke chapter 10, Jesus Christ made that statement. From verse 17, read up to verse 21. What did he say?
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Uh-huh.
And he said unto them,
hey, earlier on he said, I give you power. I give you what? Power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And they went and they came back with the report. Hey, master, come and see power. What did he say again from verse 17?
And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name.
Yes.
And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven.
Why did he make that statement in response to when they are praising him? In your name, come and see what is happening. They were rejoicing in the power and the anointing they have. And then he looked at them. This anointing you have is a test. For there was Satan also that was as anointed as you were. But see how he fell, yakata. So, you are not to rejoice in this, read on.
Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Uh-huh. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice.
Please listen carefully to what he's saying here. Don't rejoice. Don't brag. Don't, let that not be your anchor as evidence. That what?
That the Spirit is subject unto you. Uh-huh. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.
That is rejoice because you have a confirmation of your salvation. That is what should give you joy. The psalmist said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That statement is very loaded. What is the joy of the Lord? It's because the Lord is my strength. The Lord is my deliverer. The Lord is my savior. The Lord is my redeemer. The Lord is my refuge. When you make God your all and all, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, other things will follow. The greatest testimony of a human being on earth is blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Now this statement doesn't carry weight at this time in Nigeria, when things are so difficult. That is why the amen wasn't too loud. You see? But whether you accept it or not, it's a fact, whether you accept it or not.
Amen.
Amen. The greatest thing that can happen to any human being on earth is to find Jesus. When Jesus boasted, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father except by me. And you found him and got access to the throne of grace. I have Jesus in my life. I am satisfied. Even though I go hungry, I am satisfied. Oh, glory be to God. That's why that song that I say, faith, faith is earthly joy. Jesus is
mine.
Tempt not my soul away.
Jesus is mine. The keys, the wheel, the rest, and has no resting place. Jesus alone can.
When you see these people who get through inspiration, not this commercial gospel singer, so there's always a testimony behind it. Praise the Lord. When Jesus stood in the shores of Galilee and shouted, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Then you'll understand why I say the greatest thing that can happen to you is to find Jesus. He says, oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. See my testimony. Heir of
salvation.
I'm redeemed, purchased
of God. Born of his spirit. Washed in his blood.
Listen, church. Oh, this.
Story.
That's my testimony. This is my testimony.
This is my story.
Oh, yes.
Praising my Savior. Praising my Savior.
Savior.
All that the Lord. This is my story.
This is my story.
This is my story.
This is my song. I will give you rest. All the struggle you are struggling is because you have not found Jesus. Some people are coming to church, one leg in the church, one leg for Babalawo. Hey, hallelujah. Some people are coming to Christ so that witches and wizards will not attack you. If that is the reason, you have still not found Jesus. Some people are running to Jesus so that I will not die on timely death. Okay, oh, James died on timely death. James died on timely death, oh. And those apostles died horrible deaths. And what of John the Baptist? After he introduced Jesus, they cut off his head shortly after. And Jesus heard that he was in prison. He didn't go to deliver him with miracle signs and wonders. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? Upon this rock I build my church. So that you can speak like Apostle Paul speak. What can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus? When you find Jesus, you have found life. Amen. I am a marketer of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am a marketer of Jesus. All that you need is just revelation. If you have revelation, your Christian life will be different. I'm talking to somebody. Hallelujah. Listen, you must come to an estate in your life, in your work, that no matter what you go through, it will have nothing to do with your relationship with God. I don't know whether you catch me. You must come to an estate in your life. Until you reach that estate, Satan will mess you up. Whether I have food to eat or not, it will not. Look, your decision to serve God must be for better, for worse. I've shared this several times with you here. Go back to where they say you backslid today. Go back to where. Go back to where. Go back to where. Go back to nightclub. Amen. Go back. Sometimes I think I say, go back to where. Praise the Lord. Say go back to womanizing. I was sharing with somebody. I say, how do they take chase women now, sir? I say, so, sister, come. How do they do it? Any womanizer here? If a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Amen. I have reached a stage in my Christian life now where it will have to be the woman that will chase me. And the reason you are chasing me is because you are a demon sent to destroy me. Therefore, you are a suspect. You are a suspect. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The greatest thing. And when Satan knows you have reached that stage, he leaves you alone. Food or no food, I have decided and have made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. There are some songs. Amen. There are some songs we sing to God. And there are some songs we sing to Satan. I hope you understand. Eh? There are some songs that we sing and dance. And who are we singing it to? Satan. We are singing it to that problem around you. When I sleep under a bridge, I don't have a house. Satan, it will not affect my relationship with my God. Listen, the emphasis is the soul. When the soul is anchored, hallelujah, any other thing is wasting their time on me. When your soul is anchored, you know what an anchor is? A ship in the sea, when it is dropped, no matter where the wind blow it to, it will, the anchor will draw it back. It says, I've anchored in Jesus, the storms of life I'll brave. I've anchored in Jesus, I fear no wind or rain. I've anchored in Jesus, for he has power to save. I've anchored in the rock of ages. I'm anchored. And so when peace like a river attended my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, he said, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to know. It is well.
It is well.
Of the heavens and the earth, I remind him every day. He spoke to me and told me he's my Father and my God. That is my anchor. That's the reason why you hear me pray, you hear me say, my Father, my God. I am making reference to what he told me. Hallelujah. I have him as my Father. That is why I sing one song. When that day is dark, before you, whatever is the situation you are going through,
there is one, Jesus, everywhere that you may go,
there is one who watches over you.
Jesus is the one, yes, he's the only one.
Oh,
let him have his way until the day is gone.
Hallelujah.
When he speaks, you know the clouds will have to go.
Oh,
just because he loves you so.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have no regrets whatsoever the decision to serve my God. He has been my Ebenezer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have confirmed. He shook me. He shook me up. Hey. I suffer. I cry. He messed me up. I was undergoing my test. Job underwent his test. Scattered everything he had. Job came back to zero. Scattered every connection I ever had. Frustrated me, and maybe that is your situation now. But he came too late because, hallelujah, I had already found Jesus. I already had an anchor. You move me anywhere, I come back to him. Oh, glory be to God. The righteous falleth seven times, but he will surely rise again. I held on to him because everybody had forsaken me. Psalm 27 says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. He took me up. I held on to him. That's why I sing, it pays to serve Jesus.
I speak from above.
Oh, yes. It pays to serve him. It pays to serve him.
In this wide world, can measure our fault. Oh, there is peace and contentment in serving the Lord. Oh, I love him far better than he makes of you. Oh, I'll serve him all truly.
Leave you without comfort. Oh, yes.